Is everybody familiar with Bruce Lee? You know, the martial arts guy? I look like him, don't you think? He had a philosophy of martial arts, and the philosophy is, be like water. And I thought, you know, this is Bruce Lee. I just assumed that Bruce Lee would say, you know, it's all about strength and speed and balance. And he said, no, be like water. And I don't know where I heard that, but I heard it probably a couple of years ago, maybe. And it just sort of sat somewhere in my subconscious, and I just thought of it just the other night. But it has a lot to do with my career trajectory, it turns out. I worked for 6 years with the Tacoma Rescue Mission, right down the street. And my last year with them, I had a job teaching at the Pierce County Jail, right across the street that way. So once a week, it was once a week, but to work at the Pierce County Jail, I had to get a security, you know, background check, which is pretty standard, right? So I got this form, and it just asked for my name, social security number, and there was one question on this this form. The question was, have you ever been arrested? It was a little box for yes, a little box for no. And I had to call the person in the main office at the county city building in the jail, and I said, you know, I don't really know if I've been arrested. And he said, this is on the phone, this is a phone conversation. I could sort of tell his eyes were rolling and that whole thing. He said, you know, you would know. And I said, no, really, I don't know if I've been arrested. And he said, you have to know. And I said, no, I don't really know. And he said, okay, just check no and put a question mark. So that's what I did. And the reason I didn't know was that way many years ago, is everybody familiar with Father Bixel here in town, by the way? Yeah. Many years ago, I was, what would the word be? I was involved in a little protest with him back in the 70s. And it was my first one. I think it was even his first one. But anyway, we were taken into custody, and again, this is back in the 70s, and I mean, who would bother remembering the 70s anyway, really, right? I don't remember what even happened. So I don't remember, and I don't know where on the scale of things being arrested means. Does that mean trial? Does that mean charged? Does that mean convicted? Does that mean incarcerated? What does that even mean? So it's obvious I did not go to law school, right? So I checked no and with a question mark, and this was a document from the State Patrol. So I, you know, certainly did not want to deceive anyone. So about a month later, I got a little letter back from the State Patrol that I was approved, that I did not have a criminal record, and I was glad to hear that. Everybody should be glad to hear that, right? So after that, I started my class at the jail. And I went there the first time, and it's in the new building right next to, attached to the county city building. So I take the elevator up, and I go to this office, and I had been a teacher at the Tacoma Rescue Mission and other places, and I taught adult basic education and GED preparation, all that kind of stuff. So I had all these handouts and booklets and pencils and stuff. So I go up there, and the guy says, you can't take any of that in with you, you know? And I said, no, I didn't know. And he said, you know what? Everything is a weapon in there. You can't take pencils in there. You can't take markers. If you hand out worksheets, you have to count them and make sure you get them all back. I don't know what people would do to with paper, like paper cuts attack or something. I don't know. So I thought, oh, great. I have like zero materials, and I don't know what I'm going to talk about. I don't know who my people are. I don't know what their levels are, interests or anything. And he said, yeah, you just go in there and teach this class. So I went in there. So I walked down this hall, and the hallway has like this big, it's just a normal narrow doorway, and it has like all bars. And I just had to stand there until somebody in some unknown room saw that I was there and opened the door, and I walked about another 10 feet, and there was another set of bars. And the bars behind me, of course, closed. And I'm not claustrophobic, but I got claustrophobic in a hurry. Because I thought, you know, if there's an earthquake or the power goes out or the machinery clogs or if the guy just doesn't like me, I'm just stuck in this hallway and I have no clue where I am. There's no windows. there's these little tiny narrow hallways that go who knows where. And the whole idea, I was told later, was that if prisoners ever did escape, they would come down these hallways and they would have no idea where they were, where the exits were, anything like that. And I'm sure that it worked that way. But anyway, I made my way down the series of little short 10-foot like hallway things with bars like clanging behind me like constantly. And then I came to this reception area. And they were expecting me, of course. And they said, oh, here's your room. And there's like a big day room off the side with like 30 or 40 guys in it. And it was all guys. And they said, this is your class. And they gave me this little thing about the size of a cell phone, maybe. And they said, here's a little transponder. If anything happens in there, just push this button and we'll come and get you. And I'm thinking, I really don't like the feeling of, or the sound of, if anything happens. Oh, and they had told me, so there's like 30 or 40 guys in this day room waiting for me. And they had told me before that just that day, this is my first day, just that day there were a couple new murderers that were going to be in my group. And this is at the Pierce County Jail. Some people are there for, you know, short terms, you know, 10 days, 30 days, 90 days, whatever. But some people are held until they are shipped to the larger, you know, Walla Walla or whatever. And I thought, great, there's this 30 or 40 guys, and they're all big and burly and mean-looking, and a bunch of them are murderers, and they're just going to send me to this room with 30 seconds to push my little responder deal. So I went in there, and I'm thinking, I'm supposed to teach them, like, you know, basic skills, like fractions. Teaching fractions to people in jail. Think about that. They're really going to like that, right? They're really going to appreciate that kind of maneuver. So it was fractions, subject-verb agreement, you know, but you know what you think about when you're in jail, right? Yeah. And I thought, you know, this is just not working. And I thought, well, the other thing I teach or used to teach with the mission was life skills. And this is like, you know, how to manage money, communications, getting along in relationships, you know, things like that. And I thought, okay, I have no clue what these guys need. So I asked them what they need. You know, and I just kind of opened it up and I said, you know, I'm here to talk about life skill kinds of stuff. What kinds of stuff matters to you? What do you need to work on? Or what do you want to work on? Or what do you care about? Or what matters to you? And we just kind of talked for the first time. And then the second time I went in there, I kind of had this brainstorm. And the brainstorm was, these guys know what they need, but they're kind of caught in a whirlpool of, you know, bad influences and drugs and alcohol and fights and, you know, poverty and, you know, all kinds of stuff. And I went in there and I brought in one sheet of paper, you know, the giant post-it note things, you know, the really big ones. I stuck one of those on the wall and I brought in one marker. Again, I have to like keep everything so they don't like attack me with my marker, right? So I write across the top, what question would you ask God? And it was really interesting because I wanted to get them, you know, what is your higher power? You know, whatever. I wanted them to start thinking about something larger than, you know, the next drink or the next fight or the next, you know, crime or the next, you know, drug deal or whatever. And we had some really powerful discussions from that. And I realized, well, they told me toward the end of my time there, they told me that lots of people come into the jail and do all kinds of things and talk about things or give them programs or tell them what terrible people they are and, you know, stuff like that. And they said, I was the only one that came and listened to them. And it took me actually several years to figure out how powerful that is. In fact, if you're familiar with NPR, they have a program called StoryCorps, and they have a book called Listening is an Act of Love. And it never occurred to me how powerful that was, but it was very powerful. And just identifying them with them. For example, one time I went in there wearing this shirt. And what color is this shirt?
Angelina.
Salmon. Yeah, there you go. So I wore this shirt, and it turns out this is the color of the T-shirts they would wear. They would wear these T-shirts this color, with these gray like sweatshirt things and gray sweatpants, and everybody wore, you know, totally generic clothes. They were like two sizes, like small and large, and everybody just made them fit, and everybody looked terrible. But they all wore this color and gray. So I wore this shirt, and I said, I just happened to say, "Hey, I have a pink shirt just like you guys." And you know what they said? "It's not pink, it's salmon." Okay, got it. Yeah, I have my transponder right here. It's salmon. Okay, cool. Yeah. But I, as I was leaving there, I told them a couple times ahead of time that that my time was up. And here's these guys, and I realized later that postage stamps were like the biggest item of contraband. They were like the highest level of value. And there was really nothing they had. And on my very last day, they gave me a piece of paper, just a normal 8.5 by 11 sheet of paper folded, with kind of this thank you with all their names. I had never heard their names. And I realized, kind of looking at this piece of paper, that it kind of looked like the Declaration of Independence, you know, with all the signatures at the bottom, John Hancock and all the rest of them. And I thought, you know, it kind of was a Declaration of Independence. It was a declaration of, you know, we may be incarcerated and we may be, you know, bad people by whatever scale, and we may, you know, be in these generic lookalike clothes, but we're still people with names. And as I finished that, I just kind of took that and walked away and didn't really think about it for actually a long time. And then I left the mission, and I've been an adjunct instructor pretty much ever since. And I've taught at Tacoma Community College and Pierce College and Clover Park Technical College, and now I'm at Bates Technical College. And adjunct is a fancy academic word for part-time. So I float around, and I teach kind of whatever the tenured people don't want to teach. I teach the crazy hours that they don't want to teach. I teach at crazy, far-flung branch campuses, all that kind of stuff. And I realize that, again, back to this Bruce Lee quote, be like water. I realized that I kind of am like water. And it really worked for me in this prison situation where everybody was, again, big and burly and way harder than I ever hoped to be. But I can kind of roll with that. I wasn't afraid of them, even though I do have to tell you, when I would go into this day room and this big metal door would clang behind me, even though in my head, logically, I knew I was getting out of there in like an hour and a half, 2 hours, still the clang of this metal door just freaked me out at this real gut level, and just was like this paralysis like I've never felt before. So anyway, so I finished there, and I, like I said, I've been an adjunct instructor ever since. And just a couple months ago, or a couple quarters ago, I had a young woman in a class, and this is maybe like 3-4 weeks into the quarter, and we were talking about, this is an English 101 class, we're talking about, you know, your tone and your attitude, and how you come across. And I must have said something about being intimidating or something like that. And this young woman said, "You're about as intimidating as a box of kittens." And I said, because this is my manhood being threatened here, right? I said, "You mean like snarling saber-toothed tiger kittens?" And she said, "No, regular kittens." And I thought, you know, okay, I kind of get this. Bruce Lee says, be like water. I'm as intimidating as a box of kittens. I listen to people nobody else listens to. That kind of gives me kind of a, almost kind of a GPS sense of kind of who I am and where I am in the world. That's just who I am, for better or worse. I have learned to like how those three things intersect. Kittens, water, and listening. There's the theme. Thank you very much.